Welcome to Puck Boys. EJ and son Sanders aren't brothers, but they are lovers of the PWHL and all things hockey. Stick around for news and conversation about the sport's best new league. This is a Horse House production with music by Ben Prunty.
Welcome back to Puck Boys. It's me, EJ Sanders. On the other side, we have Son Sanders. Hello.
Hello, it's me, Son Sanders.
It's been a minute since we've recorded this podcast, but a lot has happened in the PWHL. The Women's World Cup wrapped up, or the Women's World Championships wrapped up, and they are back in action here in the PWHL. Each team had five games remaining when we left, and we made some predictions when we were gone. We were hopeful for some things to happen for some of these teams. We were pretty certain about the fates of some of the other teams. And if you want, son, we can kind of go from top to bottom exactly what our prediction was and maybe go into how they're doing right now. So New York, when we left, we were pretty certain New York probably wasn't going to rebound, and so far it hasn't been the case for them. They left in a pretty bad state. They had three wins, three regulation wins going into the break, and then they came right out and lost one to Boston and then lost badly to Montreal on the road. They do have three games remaining in the season. They are the first team eliminated, and they're starting to earn points towards their first draft pick, so still some meaningful games for them coming up, son.
Yeah, let's talk about like the points for draft picks. We were talking prior to recording about some interesting ideas, and I think we're both under the prospect that New York might be the only team that earns these points. Boston and Ottawa, it's so close. Boston has the chance today to kind of catch up in points to Ottawa, but not quite past them. And schedule-wise, you know, they have one more game, and Ottawa has technically two more. So I think it is unlikely that Boston catches them unless Ottawa completely flops. Today we watched the Montreal-Ottawa game, and Ottawa looked really good.
They looked good.
The only reason Montreal came out of that game was Debian.
Yeah.
In my opinion, especially in that third. Ottawa could have put up four goals on them, but Debian made some incredible saves. EJ was bouncing back between the Boston-Minnesota game and this, and every time he jumped back, Debian was making some sort of incredible save.
Insane.
Absolutely insane. It goes as expected that New York is the first to be eliminated. We saw the writing on the wall. I think Boston, the fate of Boston is in Ottawa's hands, and I think Ottawa is going to seal it these next games. Ottawa is playing against New York and Toronto. The Toronto game will be a big game. I suspect that unless New York can play spoilers, right? So New York may be the first one eliminated, and kind of like what we talked about before, New York can play spoilers.
Yeah, it's tough for New York. I mean, they do have Toronto tomorrow. We're recording this on the 27th. So April 28th, they have Toronto. The 30th, Ottawa. And then May 4th, they close at home with Minnesota. Three home games left for New York. So hopefully they're well attended. I know that they moved, I think, to New Jersey for these final few games that they're going to be playing. And they may stay in New Jersey. I don't know. The attendance wasn't super great in New York. They were one of the lower attended teams, especially when they were the home team this year. So we'll see what the fate of New York is next year. But all around, just kind of a season to forget. I mean, Alex Carpenter, obviously somebody to build around. They have a few other players as well, including Jesse Eldridge, who's had a spectacular season, a fantastic and spectacular mix. I think New York can look at some of the positives. I was hoping they would turn it around a little bit. But it just never really got rolling. And when they lost that close game to Boston, I think they realized the writing was on the wall and Montreal kind of put them away. So after that, though, Toronto is currently not doing super great in the month of April. They did have that overtime win over Montreal, only 2 points in two games. They do play New York tomorrow and should be a win for them. And we're going to be saying that about New York all episode long. We're very sorry. New York is just going to be that team right now where if you're looking at the schedule, New York has to be a win for these teams contending for a playoff spot. Now, Toronto already locked up a spot, but they've had kind of an up and down April. Not a very big sample size so far for Toronto.
Yeah, not a huge sample size, but I think the expectation, like you mentioned, they're going against Minnesota, Ottawa, and New York. Mm-hmm. Two wins at minimum, two wins. I think New York. I don't know. That last game against Ottawa could be really intense.
It's a trap game. We're talking. Sure. Yeah.
It's a trap game. That game is the last game of the season. So we're going to mm-hmm. definitely be watching that and be really excited just because it can decide a bunch, right? Like if, let's say, Ottawa, for instance, loses against New York, mm-hmm. they have to win that Toronto game.
They have to, because
well, that's also giving Boston the win against Montreal, which I don't think will be easy. If Debbie Ann has anything to play with it or say about it, let's bring it to that too, because we had talked about the potential goaltending controversy in Montreal.
Yeah.
There hasn't really been. Chulie got put in. She won against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Debian came in. Unfortunately, lost that game in Toronto, but we knew she was going to play that game no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That was the Bell Center.
In the Bell Center. And then she only gets two goals against in her next two games and a 5-2 win against New York and a 2-0 shutout for her against Ottawa today. I don't think there's a controversy.
Yeah, it's kind of over.
I'm worried about her. I am worried mm-hmm. about her. She's playing a lot, but...
Yeah, I mean, she has a week off here, and she'll probably play the Boston game unless they're resting her for the playoffs. I mean, I wouldn't mind Chulie playing that Boston game. It's a game that I don't think will have a lot of stakes. It all depends on how Toronto plays their next two games. Toronto has a game tomorrow, like I said, and then on May 1st against Minnesota. If Toronto drops both of those games, loses both of them, either overtime loss or just regular loses either of those games, even an OT win and an OT loss is only worth 3 points for Toronto, then that game will matter against Boston on May the 4th for Montreal. And if it matters, we'll see Debian. If it doesn't matter, then we will see Chulie. I almost guarantee it. Only because I think that Montreal has basically the 2 seed locked up. I mean, unless Minnesota can somehow, swindle their way back into this. And they can. They're a very good team. They could win out and finish ahead of Montreal if Montreal drops that game against Boston. So still a lot of things up in the air. I don't think you want to be... the team that is, one of the teams is getting chosen between essentially. So Montreal is going to want to finish second at the very least. And so I do think if you want to put it that way, they are thinking that game against Boston definitely matters because they don't have second place locked up. Now, there's a lot of hockey to be played between now and then, and there's other teams are going to be playing 2-3 games in between now and then. So they'll just kind of see how it goes, see what the standings look like on Saturday next week, and then surely make their decision then. I still think Chulie gets the start. I would say it's probably an 80-20 split for me in my head. I'm thinking Chulie probably gets the start against Boston because I think Boston will probably be out of it by that point. It's really hard to say. They're in a tight one right now as we're talking against Minnesota. No score going into the third.
Yeah, and Minnesota, that's the thing. Minnesota wins, beats Boston, beats Toronto, and New York, they're number one. Minnesota could lock up that first seed, and I would not want to go up against a team that turned it around, right? If they beat Boston, beat Toronto, beat New York, because they haven't started off great in April. They have two losses. They lost against Montreal, and they lost against Ottawa. Montreal stormed back. That game was kind of all over the place. Minnesota had a big second period, but Montreal kind of protected it. Beginning and end, a nice sandwich on it. But Ottawa just completely shut them out 4-0. And so that's the game against Montreal was the only game Rooney played, and Hensley's been playing the others. That's why I was kind of surprised she started against Boston today because of her loss, but maybe they're just like kind of bouncing her back in. She hasn't had the best outing so far in April, but they win tonight. That's all that matters, right? That's a huge start. And then they go into Toronto and then go into New York and potentially could take number one. I mean, they're only 3 points behind Toronto right now. And that's given, Toronto struggles in its two games against Minnesota and Ottawa in May.
Yeah, Minnesota, I mean, 0-2 in May, not a good start, or in April, not a good start, and struggling against Boston today. I mean, if you're Minnesota, you know, we've been talking up Minnesota all year long as the best team in this thing, and they lose a close one to Montreal, but then get the doors blown off of them by Ottawa. I mean, I don't think they've lost that badly all year long. 4-0 to Ottawa. It's not a good start to April, and all of a sudden, if you're Minnesota, you know, they still technically haven't clinched a playoff spot. If they lose in regulation to Boston today, all of a sudden, we're talking about Minnesota potentially missing the playoffs because they'll be 3 points ahead of Ottawa and Boston with two to play, and that's not a guarantee. It would be crazy if Minnesota missed the playoffs. I mean, if they miss the playoffs after basically being in first place all season long, they haven't fallen outside the top three basically all season. And now, you know, when push is coming to shove, all these desperate teams such as Boston and Ottawa are really taking it to them. Now, Boston is like, this is where we really thought we would see the difference between Boston and Ottawa. Ottawa has looked like world beaters. They've looked really good. They look good today. They had a goal taken away from them that would have tied the game up late in the third period against Montreal. You know, very controversial call. You know, I'm a Montreal fan, so I'm glad it happened. But, you know, if you're an Ottawa fan, you're upset with that call, absolutely. So, and, you know, I thought it was a good goal. I thought it should have stood. But I could see why they took it away as well. I mean, it's just a tough call to make in that situation. You'd kind of wish that it didn't go to a review there, but Minnesota's really kind of on the doorstep of will they, won't they? They need this win today against Boston to secure a playoff spot. And if they don't get it, all of a sudden it's could be trouble for Minnesota, which we didn't think we'd be talking about. Now, luckily, Minnesota still has New York on the schedule. Again, New York's going to be the punching bag for today. Unfortunately for PWHL New York, it, you know, Minnesota's going to win that game. They're on the road, but they're going to come in, and if they need to win that game, they're going to win that game.
Yeah, what I think is interesting about Minnesota and Ottawa, because these are kind of like what we're looking at. This is the chance for New York to be that spoiler, right? All of a sudden now, like kind of how you're describing with Minnesota, May 4th looks really important. Yeah. You know, New York could come in and New York could come in and spoil the game for Minnesota, right? I mean, just imagine Minnesota loses today against Boston, like you said. All of a sudden they're only 3 points behind, and then they go in and go against a really good Toronto team, you know, who's, you know, playing 500 right now, but still playing good. They lost against Boston on April 18th. You know, then New York's also playing spoilers to Ottawa on April 30th, potentially. You know, they could, but what if they play good then, you know? And then you're talking about Boston kind of leapfrogging, potentially getting into third place.
Potentially. I mean, the thing going against Boston right now is even if they win this Minnesota game, they only have one more game. They're in the same boat that Montreal is, where they're just going to be waiting until next Saturday and just hoping for the cards to kind of fall in a place to where they have a shot to make the playoffs next week. It's not guaranteed for them. And, you got to feel bad a little bit for Boston. The schedule just didn't really work out, but they had to win that game against Ottawa. That was a head-to-head game. They ended up losing in a shootout. I mean, that's a huge point right now. I mean, that's a massive point. That point is a 2-point swing technically, because if they win that, or if they win that game in the shootout, they would be at 30 points and Ottawa would be at 31. Instead, it's 32-29 right now. So it's, I mean, one thing I love about the PWHL, I love that there's only six teams right now. And we're going to get into expansion talk here momentarily after we kind of wrap up where we're at currently. But Boston, I mean, and Ottawa, I love that there's this fight for this last playoff spot here towards the end of the season. You know, it makes things super interesting. I love how close the points are going to be. I mean, the top team in the league and the fifth place team in the league are going to finish, you know, probably within 10 to 15 points of each other, which is really close. It's 5 wins, but it's still pretty close, all things considered, when you're talking about a 6-team league.
There's so many things that could happen, right?
So many.
The possibilities are what's so exciting.
Yes.
But let's talk a little bit about expansion and tell me why. Why do you love that we have a 6-team league right now?
Well, I mean, obviously, when it comes to building a new league, And I've always made this point. It has to start from a point of wanting growth, right? You have to start from a point where you can grow. A lot of leagues run into an issue early on where they may try and put too many franchises into the world. And they're not franchises. They are actually just all part of a league, right? They're not, there's not individual owners for each of these teams. This is something we talked about towards the beginning of our episode list, probably in episode one or two, about, you know, none of these teams have their own owners yet, you know, and one day that's where you kind of want to go. You want to go to a point where each of these teams has their own individual owner and can make, you know, can pay their players, you know, X amount of money to play hockey for them. That's the ultimate goal of this league, is to sell these teams to people who want to continue to grow the game. So that's the objective. And if you are starting with that objective in mind, six teams is a great place to start. Eight teams is where you're probably wanting to end up in a couple of years, one to 2 years. And then probably 12 teams is where you want to start saying, okay, we're at 12 teams in this league. These franchises need to be franchised. You know, we need to start getting investment into these teams and make sure that we can pay all of the players that we have. So that's kind of where you're at, right? Eight to 12 teams is really where you want to start hoping that there's investment in the league, to the point where there's individual owners and they can start paying these players. So it'll be interesting to see, but we already know that the two, you know, hot spots, obviously Pittsburgh and Detroit both hosted a game this year, each of them hosting two different teams. And Pittsburgh, it feels like they're ready for hockey. I mean, I think that they are going to be a hot spot and going to be one of the first locations that everybody looks at.
Pittsburgh, as quoted by DK Sports, they're ripe and ready for professional women's hockey after their game in front of almost 9,000 fans packed to the PPG Paints Arena. Toronto beat Montreal in this game. Hannah Miller and Kaylee Flanagan scored for Toronto, and Kristen O'Neill, the lone goal for Montreal. But it seems like Pittsburgh came out ready for people. That almost 9,000 is almost more than some of the games that we've seen New York put up this year. And the other expedition game that we saw was Detroit. They had almost 14,000 people come to this game.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible. Detroit, I mean, it's a hockey town. I mean,
yeah,
there's a reason for it. And one of the quotes that I saw from the Michigan native, Megan Keller, was that, I mean, I personally think it's only a matter of time. There's so much girls hockey in the state of Michigan, and it continues to grow at a rapid rate. And I think it's something that a lot of these young girls deserve to be able to look up to. It's called Hockey Town for a reason, and Michigan is such a hockey state. I think we should have one here. So that's that was from the Hockey News, and that was Megan Keller saying this in a post game. So yeah, I think. You know, Pittsburgh did really well, but there's no way Detroit doesn't come in with them. That's why I don't see it at all. Just one team coming in. And that game was between Ottawa. That game was between Boston and Ottawa. It ended in a shootout, 2-1 for Boston. Hillary Knight and Emily Clark scored in the first, and Marizov nets a goal in the shootout for Ottawa. Hannah Brady and Hillary Knight also scored for Boston to get it in the shootout. So that was a really good game. I loved the vibe. The fans were very wild, I felt like. I went to a Detroit Kings game at the Little Caesars Arena last year, I believe, and it was a great crowd. It was a great atmosphere, great sight lines. The stadium obviously is built. I mean, they went from the Joe to this, so they weren't going to make a mistake. Oh, but it was a wonderful experience. Yeah, the Joe. We all love the Joe. There's so many good documentaries of just like the stuff there. But what I love about the Joe is that when I saw the way like the reporters, the calls, the people making the calls, the color commentators and stuff, where they sat was just like right next to people in the stands. I mean, it was so old school. Really exciting stuff. So I could see Pittsburgh and Detroit coming in. My question to you, EJ, Do you think this is something that they're going to come in next year, or do you think we're going to get one more year of six teams?
I think it's one more year of six teams. Personally, I think that the way that these expansions generally work is we would already be hearing about expansion for these teams, I think. I think we would already hear the PWHL saying there's going to be two more teams, mostly because we're about to go into a point of the year where it's like, all right, the playoffs are going to happen, and then there's going to be kind of this off-season period, and you want people to be kind of excited for something in that off-season period. So this would be the time, if you're the PWHL, to say, we are putting a team in Pittsburgh and Detroit, and it's just not going to happen. It won't happen this year. I think it will be next year. We'll probably hear about it next season, kind of in the middle of the season. At least some discussions of like how that's going to go and what they're planning on doing. But I think Pittsburgh and Detroit are going to be the two towns. I don't foresee a reason why they would have gone to those two cities without some hopes of expansion in the future. The PWHL has been very popular in the towns it's been in, minus New York, and it's not really New York's fault. They just kind of got put in an arena that wasn't very well attended overall, and it's kind of, you know, it's hurt their attendance rates. But I think New York can succeed where they're at. But, you know, it's hard for New York to leave, too. You were talking about it's just such a big market. So, again, if you're a New York fan, you know, it's been a tough year, but I'm pretty certain that New York's going to stick around. They're going to stay in New York, and they may go to New Jersey, but they'll still be called New York somehow, and we'll try to figure that out. But Pittsburgh and Detroit, they'll be the two towns that I imagine they'll go to. There are a few other towns that I'm wondering maybe they do expand to. You know, I'm wondering if they go to another Canadian town. You know, I don't know how far west they're willing to go, but if they're wanting to slowly move west, I imagine Winnipeg is on the menu, as they're the next, you know, the next kind of locale, that hosts a team already in the NHL. So, if they're wanting to expand west in Canada, I think Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, those will be the three spots they look to next. And if they're looking to expand south into the United States, Pittsburgh and Detroit, will be the obvious choices. And then after that, I mean, it's really a crapshoot. St. Louis is next on the menu after that, or Chicago. Chicago doesn't have a team yet. I mean, why, you know, we're talking about a lot of places that could use a PWHL team, or at least where the league will want to be as they start their expansion. But I think with how close the teams are right now, I think keeping it kind of in that locale, that northeast locale, with just Minnesota being outside of that, bringing in Pittsburgh and Detroit are excellent options.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said Winnipeg too, just because watching the playoffs in the NHL right now, that Winnipeg-Colorado series, regardless of how the outcome right now Winnipeg's down 2-1 to intimidating Colorado team. But the Winnipeg fans are amazing. I mean, they're out like 2 hours before the game. I mean, they're packed, like, it looks like 1,000 deep in this street where they're all outside partying. I think that could be the next. To me, that's the most logical Canadian location to get a team, because I can't see them going out farther west just for travel cost. It's just too far. And Winnipeg's just north of Minnesota, so that could be a fun rivalry for them. And I think you're totally right. Pittsburgh, Detroit is coming out like as just the obvious ones. Chicago would be interesting. I'm also interested in Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee, or maybe even the Madison, the Wisconsin team. We've never had a Wisconsin hockey team. You know, like so
it's a good
or
state,
you know, NHL team. Yeah, it's good state, and that college team is really, really good. So Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, but also to me, Ohio is another location for a team. I could see, you know, maybe we revive the Cleveland Barons as a PWHL team.
No, can't do that. We can't do that. Cleveland can't host a hockey team right now. I think Cleveland is a good three sport town. They have a tough time with four sports, I feel like. And I'm a Cleveland fan, for all of you out there being like, Cleveland could host a hockey team. I know that they have the Lake Erie team and everything like that. It's fine.
The Lake Erie Monsters.
Yeah, the Lake Erie Monsters. Yes, correct. They won while I was up there. 2016, I was up there when the Cavs won the NBA championship. And I was in the streets of Cleveland whenever, you know, LeBron hit that shot. And Kyrie hit the shot, and then LeBron hit a couple of free throws. The block, it was all there. I was in the streets celebrating with Cleveland fans because it had been so long since they had won anything in any sport, 60 years at that point. So that was a fun time. And then, yeah, I don't know. I think Cleveland's a cool sports town, but I don't imagine that there'll be a hockey town anytime soon. But as I was saying before, you know, the thing with Wisconsin, why most teams don't go to Wisconsin, it's just North Chicago, you know, like a lot. Chicago's probably going to get a team before Wisconsin sees one, unfortunately, because Wisconsin, again, is a great state for hockey. You can't ignore Chicago. Yeah, you can't go to Wisconsin without going to Chicago. It's impressive that Minnesota got a team over Chicago, is what I would say. Like, that's kind
of... surprise me at all. I mean, that's the hockey capital of the U.S.
It really is. It really is. And really, honestly, sorry, Detroit. I mean, you know.
Sorry, yeah.
Sorry.
Your hockey town, not
hockey state, and that's Minnesota.
I think they're okay. They'll look up in the rafters and be like, all these Stanley Cups? Yeah, we have no problem.
Yeah.
Where's your Stanley Cups, exactly. Minnesota? That Minnesota North Star run in the early 90s, you know, sure. That was incredible. I mean, of course, Pittsburgh came in and just stopped them. Transition into my thing that I want to close out expansion talk. So most likely we're going to get Pittsburgh and Detroit. I agree with you. I think next year we get the six teams. I think we ramp up. I think year three we get Pittsburgh, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, and so I want to go a little aesthetic choices, right? Because this does, Detroit brings a kind of a crinkle in the color choices that we have of the PWHL right now.
Mm.
So Pittsburgh, we know it's going to be black and yellow. That's every team. They're all black and yellow in that city. They're
gold,
consistent.
Black and yellow, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they're going to bring the marigold out. I would love it to be primary yellow and with black as accents. I think that would be really
cool.
But Detroit. So we already have Ottawa and Montreal as red teams. So is Detroit going to go more Red Wings red? Are they going to go to Detroit Tigers and like be orange and black? Or are they going to go Detroit Lions and be silver and blue? I mean, what's your thought? Because we only have one blue team, and that's
Toronto.
The powder
blue would be all right. I mean, you could say that New York is kind of blue. They're like tealish. They're like that.
It's a teal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bluish. But I don't know. I think a navy blue would look really good. So maybe Detroit Tigers navy blue and orange would look really nice.
Mm.
I don't think all the teams have to go off of, you know, the teams that are already in their state. I mean, Minnesota is purple, you know. That's for one.
Vikings?
Yeah, but they're purple, you know, in the face of the green that is the Minnesota Wild. So, if we're just talking hockey teams, I don't know. I'd like to see I know this is going to sound weird, but I'd like to see like a gray, you know. I know that's not a very pretty color, but I like gray as like kind of a primary and then like accenting it with like a really sharp red, you know. If you're going to keep the red, right, you go with like maybe a gray color that goes with that red and do some really nice piping on the jerseys or something like that. I think that would look really nice, but I don't know. I don't know what Detroit wants. They're probably going to want, no, we want Red Wings red and, you know, the silver piping and the white, you know, logo and all of that, which is nice. It's a very clean, pretty look. They have one of the best jerseys in all of, the NHL. Absolutely.
Sports in general. Sweaters.
And sports in general, they have a great logo. So Detroit will figure it out. That town is actually, all three of their teams are have a really nice design, or all four of their teams. I forget the Pistons for a second, but all four of their teams.
Pistons.
Yeah, Pistons are there. They're like red, white, and
Pistons.
Blue.
Sorry, Pistons.
Yeah, I don't
they
think
red,
I
white, and blue.
Yeah, I don't really want a red, white, and blue team. That's kind of New York's thing. So,
Either
way, I think Detroit will figure it out, and they'll always come up with something that looks nice. I think overall, all of their teams look nice in general. So, more aesthetics. Let's go into maybe what the cup looks like. So we were talking a few episodes back. We talked about the Isabel Cup and the Clarkson Cup, and we were debating which of those they would go with. Well, we didn't know that the answer would be neither.
Neither. Yeah, neither.
Neither.
History be damned.
Yes, right. We don't want history here, baby. We want something new. And in fairness, they've come up with an interesting concept. It's called the Walter Cup. It's been getting some polarized opinions. I think there are a lot of people who are happy with the choice to go with the new Walter Cup. And then there are a lot of people who really want to preserve the history of the leagues that came before them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what I've seen, and there's not a ton of talk, right? Because everybody's really happy with the trophy. I mean, it looks great. It's a great looking trophy. There's a lot of little details that we'll get into. I think a lot of people's problem, though, is just the Walter piece, right? And I think, you know, I'm kind of back and forth on, I get it. Like, you know, we have the Stanley Cup and it's kind of the same exact origin, right? Lord Stanley sponsored the Stanley Cup. It was his cup and he had people compete in it. Ottawa actually won it 11 times, you know, so... And then he sponsored, and now we have him, right? No one actually thinks of Lord Stanley anymore. When we say Lord Stanley, everyone who's a hockey fan, maybe not someone in Canada who's in the government, I don't know, or someone in England who's like, my uncle cousin was Lord Stanley. It is like the person who sponsored. Now, when we think of Lord Stanley, we just think of the cup, right? We think of its 30 some odd pounds and people lifting it, right? That's Lord Stanley. His name is now he's a vessel. and the Walter Cup is kind of no different, right? The Walter Group are the people that, they're what it's given us this league, right? They're funding it. They're sponsoring it. Kind of what we talked about at the very beginning. Each team does not have its own owner. Walter Cup. Walter owns most of this alongside the other owners. Yeah, Mark, the Walter Group, let's say, that'd be more accurate there. But I think the name is what I think everybody gets, right? Because we had these other two that have like long histories, the Clarkson, the Isabel. We've explained it, you know. Isabel's, to me, I think the biggest snub just because it goes back so far in that history. But, you know, I want to kind of bring this idea up to you. I've thought a lot about this. We keep it the Walter Cup. Obviously, that's not going to change. We don't have a say in it. It's going to stay the Walter Cup. But I could see, you know, right now we have when East and West wins, they get the Campbell and the Prince of Wales Trophy. So what we could get, I think, East and West, once we get to that 12-team point or even to the 8-team point where we have 4-4 in each division, if they decide to do that, we could have the Isabel Conference and the Clarkson Conference.
I think that would be a really cool
homage. Bring those things in, and I think that would be a really cool tie-in, right? But I do think it's funny. Trying to find player reactions for this has been very difficult. We have one like TikTok video that came out from the PWHL. It was Ottawa, Boston, some members from that, and some funny quotes that I really like. Samantha Isbell, she's like, big. It's got to be big. Maybe like a sturdy base with like a cup at the top for sure. I'd like to see it high. I want to be as tall. Got to be big, right? I love that quote. That's just so funny. Just got to be big. I was like, that's amazing. And it is big. It is 35 pounds.
Yeah, it's big.
And it is, I believe, 24 inches in height. So it's big. And it's made of sterling silver. So it is a big trophy. So, Samantha, you got your wish. Emma Soderberg from Boston. If I had a guess, it'd be something mostly like metal compared to the NCAA's trophies. Maybe like a little shape or something like that. And I think she makes a bowl shape. I think when she does shape, she makes like the Stanley Cup shape. She just does like here's the cup and here's the base kind of hand motions. But then, you know, who didn't get their wish was Samantha Isabel's teammate, Anita Taralova. She says, it's got to be a small trophy with the PWHL logo. So she didn't get her wish, which I think is really funny. Natalie Snoodgrass, also from Ottawa. She thinks it has to be like a layered cake. Definitely loving her vibe like that. Again, very reminiscing of the Stanley Cup, right? Emma Buckles and Ashton Bell, also from Ottawa, stacked like a cake. The cake theme continues with a bowl with a purple tinge, and the tinge maybe like the Stanley Cup, maybe our own thing. So it was kind of this non-committal answer. And then Hillary Knight, I think, she finishes off the video. I think it should be a crown. I think a crown would be pretty fire. And yeah. I agree. I think it would have been like a really radical choice to like give
else.
A crown.
Yeah,
that
crown
would have been insane.
Been nuts, actually.
But Hillary, I love everything about you.
Imagine a crown, like just like a crown holder is the base, right? And the base has all the team names on it, kind of like the Stanley Cup, but then like it's just a crown holder up top and you just put the crown Like you can crown people.
Your day with a cup, you just wear a crown all day and you just walk around and be like, I am the freaking that would be champion. Sick. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just walk around with the base that holds the crown. And the base is like where all the names and stuff go. I think that would be actually really sweet. But you know, the Walter Cup, it looks cool. Let's talk
about how it looks. You know, again, we mentioned 24 inches tall, 35 pounds, made of sterling silver, made by Tiffany & Co., who's made plenty of other trophies for previous
including
leagues.
The NWSL trophy.
NWSL trophy, exactly. I think, so it has two, like sticks that kind of hold the bowl that is surrounded with six W's to represent our original six teams. I really love that look. I love the two sticks kind of coming together. I love that it's making the holding the bowl at the top. I think is really rad. And then they have at the very bottom, which I think is the coolest like little detail. And it will what I think will be awesome is because they're going to lift this bad boy in the air and you're going to see it. So they kind of thought of that. And it's the puck shattering a glass ceiling, which I think is really, really rad.
Okay, real quick, I got to interrupt you. Hold on. All I'm going to say is that the PWHL puck breaking the glass ceiling is awesome and really good symbology. The thing is named after the person who owns the league.
it is named after
that's
a man.
Where I'm kind of like, well, it's named after both. It's technically named after him and Kimbra Walker, which I believe it. Yes. Walter is his wife. So in fairness, there is, you know, it's half named after a woman, but I mean, there's just an opportunity here with the name. And I think the person who wrote the Hockey News article, Ian Kennedy, also agrees with me that just like it could have been named something else. You know, I read this opinion article on the Walter Cup being a missed opportunity for women's hockey history. Check that out. We'll probably provide a link in the description of this episode. I'm with them. It just feels like maybe they could have gone with an important figure, not in the development of the league, but you know, an important figure in the history of the game. And you know, like we were talking about it being called the Clarkson Isabel Cup or the Isabel Clarkson Cup, you know, and combining both names and it being a completely different trophy, is not the biggest deal here. I think people are just a little bit, you know, I don't think people are upset by any means. Like nobody's upset with it. I'm not even upset with it. I think it's really cool.
We just have opinions.
Yeah. I just think it would be better if it was named something else is all. And that's not to take away from what Mark and Kimber Walter have done for the league. But you know, was there nobody else we could have named it after is kind of where I'm at, you know, name it after Marie-Philippe Poulin. She's great. You know, like name it after, you know, somebody who was influential to the game, coming up. And I don't know. It just reeks a little bit of like hypocrisy a little bit. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to make this a, you know, some weird thing about rich people. It's just weird. It's called the Walter Cup. I get it. They're sponsoring the trophy. They're sponsoring the league. They are important figures in this league. Billie Jean King endorses it. And Billie Jean King is one of the, you know, finest women's rights activists in terms of women's involvement in sports to ever live. So if she endorses it in the end, I'm endorsing it and the name will grow on us. You know, we'll eventually get over the fact that it's called the Walter Cup. But it does right now in the short term or in, you know, right now after we hear about it, it does feel like a missed opportunity for the PWHL to really name it something special, and instead it just kind of has the same naming convention of something that happened over 150 years ago. So it's kind of like, yeah, you know, like Lord Stanley's Cup is named after a guy who just lorded over the cup, essentially, right? Like he sponsored the cup. And like, while that's a cool tradition and that's something that obviously the NHL should never get rid of, we could have had an opportunity to do something new here, and instead we kind of followed in those footsteps, which, you know, it just feels a little weird. So it's fine. It's obviously very pretty trophy. I do love all of the symbology on it. And like I said, in 5-10 years, we're not even going to care that it's called the Walter Cup. In fact, we'll be happy. You know, we'll be like, that's the Walter Cup. Don't change the name of the Walter Cup. You know, we'll probably be excited about it.
I think I agree. I think it's a missed opportunity, and that's the we're in the moment, right? We can talk about it. People hopefully, you know, hopefully we'll listen to this in 4 years and be like, oh yeah, I'm just catching up on the podcast, episode 5. Totally agree. You know, 4 years later, we're not even thinking about it. What I find is interesting, because if you look up the PWHL, it is co-owned. It's not just solely owned by the Walter Corporation. It is the Billie Jean Enterprise. So I think more than it just being called the Walter Cup, I think it is another part of that hypocrisy of it being called only the Walter Cup instead of like the Walter Jean Cup or something like that, right? I thought it should have been, when I saw it, I was like, oh, it was upsetting that it wasn't Isabel or Clarkson. But then I thought, like, okay, the conferences could have those, and that's really cool. They could be named those or something like that. But I also kind of was like, what about Billie Jean? She is like, it's as if, and she's an important figure of history. Everybody Google her. If you've never heard of Billie Jean King, Google her right now. There's movies made about this person. She's an important person. Exactly.
Boston, by the way, just wrapped up a win scored in the final minute of the third period to win the hockey game. Is that right? I'm watching now.
Live reactions.
Live reaction here. Live reactions. There's 20 seconds left. Minnesota dumped it into the zone. Boston had the puck with 15 seconds. They banked it up the near side. Let's see here. Pass in the center with 2 seconds left. She scored a goal. Unbelievable, with 2 seconds on the clock. Wow.
Hannah Brandt
with the goal,
assisted by Hillary Knight and Sydney Morin. Wow. Boston came alive that third period,
stole 3 points from Minnesota. So now Minnesota, like, this was the nightmare scenario for Minnesota. Like I said, this is a live reaction here. So Minnesota is now 0-3 since the break, and can't catch a break, it sounds like. And Boston now moves to 3-0-1, as 10 points since the break, just like Montreal. Minnesota is yet to figure out how to get on the board. Wow. So live reaction here. Uh-oh, for if you're a Minnesota fan, still haven't clinched a playoff spot. And Boston's starting to breathe down your neck a little bit. And if you're Ottawa after the heartbreaking loss today.
Ottawa probably now is like, dang, that was an unfortunate, that third period really sunk us.
Wow. Well, Boston has been on a roll, folks. And, 3-0-1 since coming back from the break. They just beat Minnesota. Minnesota falls to 0-3 since the break. They've got 2 games left. So Minnesota has Toronto and New York. Minnesota just needs, I believe, just a point to clinch a playoff spot. So they just need to make it to overtime. They were 2 seconds away, 2 seconds from making it to overtime. Unbelievable. Just a late goal by Hannah Brandt on the assist from Hillary Knight and Sydney Morin to really put Minnesota in a precarious spot. And Ottawa, really the team that takes a huge hit today, lost a game to Montreal in which they had a goal called back, and they've only got 2 games remaining now. Boston with 1, Minnesota with 2 games remaining. It's starting to get tight. Time is ticking away for all of these teams to try and clinch a playoff spot, and Boston trying to make the miracle comeback. Right now, as the standings stand, it's Montreal in first with 41 points and a game remaining. Toronto in second with 38 points, but 3 games remaining. Minnesota with 35 points, 2 games remaining. Ottawa, 32 points, 2 games remaining. And Boston with 32 points and 1 game remaining. And then New York, obviously, with 20 points and 3 games remaining. So it's going to be a wild finish to the season all of a sudden. Like, just one goal with a couple of seconds left on the clock, that really has shaken things up here. One more thing about Boston and Minnesota, 18 shots in that third period from Boston after 12 in the first 2 periods combined. So just peppering the goaltender there in that third period to steal a win from Minnesota. And like I said, now it's on now. This is the exact type of end of the season that we wanted to see. If you like our show, though, please be sure to give us a rating, a 5-star rating, if you wouldn't mind. Or
give us a 1 rating.
Yeah, give us a 1. We'll look at that, too. We don't care. We don't care. The rating doesn't matter to us. We just want you to enjoy it if you do. And if you don't enjoy it, you can let us know also. That's fine. I want us to get better. We love to learn from it, though. We're doing our best over here. So make sure you follow us on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe to us wherever you're at. Whatever platform you like to listen to us on. But any parting thoughts, son, as we get into the last week of the season?
There's a multiverse out there where Minnesota does not make the playoffs and actually gets that second seed in the draft. It would be crazy.
Unbelievable. Be unbelievable. It would take a Herculean effort from Toronto, or not really from Toronto, but from New York to keep Minnesota off the, I mean, if New York only wins one game and it's Minnesota, it'll be absolutely shocking because Toronto's going to be playing to win, folks. Like, they're not just going to walk into this this Minnesota game after they play New York tomorrow. They have Minnesota on May the 1st. They're not going to walk into that game expecting anything less than a win. They're going to want to pounce on Minnesota while they're down. Minnesota's lost 3 in a row. Toronto's hoping to come into that game with a couple of wins under their belt in the month of April. And I mean, Minnesota has got to feel scared for that game. Now, again, they have New York to kind of bail them out at the end of the season, but New York has a chance to really play spoiler here for one of Ottawa or Minnesota here. And meanwhile, Boston, I mean, they just get to sit and wait. They play Montreal next week, and Montreal may not care if they win or lose that game. And if that's the case, Boston's in a really good shape to possibly pass up one or both of these teams. But like I said, like and subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time.